All right, let's say good morning to Jason Cairns. He's in Eau Claire. I'm in Lake Halley. Good morning.
Good morning.
So there's Donut Day and then there's Donut Appreciation Day, and so you just can't get enough of them, I guess. But talk about your journey with donuts, past to present.
Yeah, so I grew up in Oostburg, Wisconsin, which is a small town on the east side of the state that had a place called Oostburg Bakery, which is, for those who have tried it, probably the best bakery in the whole world, the best donuts. And I remember as a child, their small donuts were 18 cents, and you could get one of the big ones for a quarter. And I spent probably hundreds of dollars there during my younger years. And still, their cream-filled Long Johns are one of my favorite things in the world. I haven't had one for a long time, but, you know, so I think that really set the standard for me in terms of donuts. Probably the last great donut I remember, I was at a place, I was in Santa Monica, California a few years ago, and there's a place called Sidecar Donuts, and they were really amazing.
Those are kind of famous. Yeah, you hear people talk about like the Krispy Kremes and getting those warm.
Yeah,
and
those are good too. Yeah,
Quick Trip's imitation is the Glazers. So
those are Tessa's favorite. Our Glazers. So yeah. If you ever want to find the way to her heart, it's through Glazers.
There you go. All right.
How about you?
You know, I think I like the Persian. Like, even at Quick Trip, the Persian that they got is my favorite. I'm a sucker for the sweets, and my midsection probably proves it. So, but hey, yesterday I want people to just you got a wonderful endorsement on Letters to the Beloved with a picture and a favorite author holding it. So, but take us back in terms of describing your fandom of Chuck DeGroat so we can fully appreciate what he did regarding the book.
Yeah, so I met Chuck DeGroat only once several years ago at a conference in Nashville. And since then, he's written a couple of really good books, my favorite being Wholeheartedness, which I've read probably five times at this point. And it really discusses what does it look like to become whole, how to move out of a life of busyness and exhaustion. And it's just been a balm to my soul. And, you know, I've certainly commented positively on his writing in the past and continue to do so. We have been friends on Facebook. You know, we're not people who hang out or really engage other than through our writing. And when I started working on Letters to the Beloved, he would post positive comments about the book, and just really was an encouragement to keep writing. Because, you know, he's had such a significant impact on my own thinking, I was just really encouraged by that. And so when Letters to the Beloved came out, I sent him a copy of the book, and he posted a picture of it yesterday. And so that was really, really an encouragement to me.
He posted a picture with a great comment too, right?
Yeah, he said, "I know this was a labor of love. It's a profound gift to the world. Well done." So needless to say, I had kind of a perma-smile on my face yesterday afternoon after seeing that. And there was one person who had commented, you know, "Chuck, I love, you know, all the books you recommend, and I can't wait to read this one." And, you know, so for me, there's a real gift. I'm a words of affirmation person. To have someone who I respect so deeply provide that sort of encouragement. And, you know, on one level, there's something when friends say, "Yeah, good job." You know, there's always that question in the back of my mind that says, "Well, they're just saying that because I'm their friend."
But,
you know, I think it's a good book. I discuss important stuff. I think it's a good thing. So.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, even reading it, yeah, I said, "Congratulations, Jason Cairns. I know this was a labor of love. It's a profound gift to the world. Well done." And I thought, you know, that's not quite "well done, good and faithful servant." But I mean, as far as an earthly endorsement, that's about as close as you're going to get, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're just grateful for him and his words. And, you know, as much as I want to recommend my book to people, and I do, you know, his writings too have been just have deeply influenced my faith, my understanding of God and myself. And so jump in on any of the things he's written, really. So
yeah, absolutely. And I had him on back in the day on Front Page on the wholeheartedness and
yeah.
And then there's more recent when narcissism comes to the church, talking about narcissism and the 9 different Enneagram numbers, too. So,
yep.
All right.
Yep.
Guess what?
Good
so
stuff.
Tomorrow I'm volunteering at the Love Chippewa event, so I can't be there for breakfast, but we'll be thinking about you. Okay.
Sounds good. Have all a right. good one.
Thanks. Talk to you next week.
Wow. Josefina, Kristen.
They made it.
Samantha, do you even know how
Felicity.
Important you, Felicity, that's
American
right.
American Girl Dolls making it into the Toy Hall of Fame for all time.
Congratulations. No one can take that honor away.
Now, will they each get to give an acceptance speech?
Well, usually what happens is whoever owns them kind of talks like this uh-huh. behind the doll.
Ventriloquism.
So, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what the little girls do.
So the National Toy Hall of Fame, again, we previewed this a while before when all the nominees were announced. But
boy, did
yesterday,
we went back to the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yesterday, from the group of 12 finalists, what is it? Three made it in.
Okay. So I love American Girl dolls. Very wholesome. They came at a time where you either had baby dolls or Barbie. Mm-hmm. And so when the Pleasant Company, which originated in Wisconsin, brought these American Girl dolls, each from a different historical time in America's history, it was revolutionary. And I myself was so grateful, so happy. So I'm very glad. I think Mattel owns them now. So I'm really glad that they made it in. Also, Risk, I think we've talked mm-hmm. about how if you want to make enemies of your siblings and cry, get out the Risk.
So again, so we don't bury the lead. 3 out of the 12 made it in. Those 3 are American Girl Dolls, Risk, and Sand.
Sand.
I don't even know what that is. Sand, which the group called perhaps the most universal. Oh, Sand! They mean like sand.
Like
the sandbox.
Okay, I thought it was yeah. like a video
if
game.
If they said
or,
sandbox, not, it would make
the movie
it,
is Dune. So
it would be clearer.
Sand.
The oh, sandbox.
Okay. But, also mm-hmm. loved by adults for Icy Sidewalks. Okay. Nice. You know what they, the American Girl Dolls Risk and Sand beat out were Battleship, Settlers of Catan, Mahjong, Billiards, Cabbage Patch Kids, Masters of the Universe, Fisher-Price Corn. Okay. These all are, I know they're going to enter themselves again. So don't feel too sad for the losers. It was just... It's time for these guys to have their time in the sun.
You know what, though? It's heartache and heartbreak this morning.
For the Fisher-Price Corn Popper
yes.
community.
The Corn Popper's been waiting year after year, longer than Leroy Butler, to get into the Toy Hall of Fame.
The toy fire engine, the Pinata, also
yes.
did not make it
yes.
this year.
And so it's... There's a lot of sadness
you're
this
right.
morning.
And,
there's
and,
joy and jubilation, but sadness.
And yet that Corn Popper, it'll just joyfully... keep popping along its little color balls and saying, that's okay.
It doesn't care about awards and recognition.
No.
It just makes little children's day and drives their parents batty. That is its purpose in life. And Fisher-Price Corn Popper, you keep doing you.
What if there really was a lawnmower type corn popper? Because you push it around like a lawnmower.
I'm hearing
yes,
you
please.
Say it's just going to keep on popping.
Yes. Again, National Toy
Hall
of
correctly,
Fame.
You heard correctly, my friend.
Congratulations, American Girl Dolls, the game Risk, and good old Sand. And if you went to the beach a lot as a kid, you probably still have some of that in your swimsuit from way back when.
Corn Popper, maybe next year.
It's 10 before 8, 37 degrees. You're in the WIB Wake Up Show. Caleb, Mark, and Susan, WWIV, we are family. It's our Friday morning tradition, our public service, as it were, because we know how busy you are and everything going on in news, sports, politics, pop culture. You can't keep up with it all. So we do it for you. We aggregate all that information, and then we bring it to you in condensed form because, friends, we respect your time. We call it headlines. Here we go.
According to a poll, 54% of the public believes that it's impossible for most people in the U.S. to achieve the American dream.
Come on, folks. Hang in there. Eventually, you'll make the cut on The Voice. One day. One day.
I believe in you. A study found that wealthy people spend less time looking at others when they walk down the street.
They're too busy looking for pennies on the sidewalk.
Weren't we eliminating those? A study finds that most Americans still work nearly 20% more than their European counterparts.
Okay, well, isn't that why European immigrants first moved to this country? To escape the tyranny of mandatory vacations?
Something like that.
Daylight savings time runs out this weekend.
It's that time of year when you change excuses from "it's too dark to jog before I go to work" to "it's too dark to jog when I get home from work."
Either way.
Mind readers. Researchers say to beat procrastination, just start. Not long after you do, the pain area of your brain accepts that it's not so bad.
That's how I get myself to shift from the couch to the recliner 3 hours into an afternoon of football.
Smart. Meanwhile, health and safety experts are recommending that all 50 states require bicyclists to wear helmets.
Next, they need to do something about those shorts.
Preach.
And finally, hey, again, this weekend, do not forget to set your clocks back.
Preferably to 2019.
Way back.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up. Couple more tunes to take you to our top of the hour information. Matt Carney, anywhere with you, WWIB.
I've been lost on the trail with the west found gold. Tossed and turned in the waves down a dead end road. Lost my mind on purpose to find my soul. Found this on this so much you wanna see alone. And I can picture your silhouette in the summer of no regrets. It felt like a thousand breaths, a thousand steps, a new we'll be right back.
When to dump them, change them, get rid of them. There's all sorts of things we're supposed to be changing on the reg. Like our internet, social media passwords, supposedly every 90 days. But they're... Yeah.
Might not have done that.
Sorry. Then how would I remember it? I can't do that. What about real world expiration dates? And I have to say that time flies by. I was looking at yogurt that I was eating, expired in August.
Is it still good?
Well, the fact that I looked at the expiration date kind of wasn't ideal, but I ate it.
Yeah. I mean, I had meat is one of like sandwich meat is one of those things too,
right?
That again, I hate wasting things. But the other day I was having some sliced chicken, some sandwich meat from Aldi on my sandwich. Yeah. And I was like, this is about to turn.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Meat today.
It just the consistency. Let's just say the adjective I would use is slimy.
Yeah. And I know exactly what you mean.
Yep. And I still wolfed it down, but I thought, you know what? I would have enjoyed that a lot more if I felt like I wasn't inhaling a disease.
We have a joke in our house. Whenever I'm about to toss something, Phil always says, "I'll take it to work with me." And he does. Well, so we're talking about things that might actually harm you if they expire. But there's just three little items here that are listed that aren't really going to harm you, but they will lose their effectiveness. The first thing is vitamins. They should be tossed after 3 years, especially if there's no expiration date on the bottle.
Now, given the size of most vitamin bottles, hopefully you have taken them long before the three-year mark. But occasionally you'll find things. And so be smart with that. Pillows should be thrown away after a year, it says. And to me, what instantly comes to mind is, well, wow, how impressive is the MyPillow that it comes with a 10-year warranty? It's built to last, probably because most pillows might not be nearly as washable and dryable as the MyPillow. So, if you want to avoid that, having to throw your pillow away every year, get a MyPillow. Plug there.
Yeah, 10-year warranty. Yeah, if it disappoints in any way. But I can see that because pillows pick up a lot of dust mites and things. But with the MyPillow, you can wash it.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is a chat spot. We won't go
on. This isn't an extended commercial, but we do love the MyPillow.
Yeah. And finally, get a new toothbrush every 3 months.
Oh, I break this one.
Oh, but it's so important. I just got a new head on my little electric one. And I'm like, ow.
And this is the thing, because the bristles aren't nearly as bristly. Like, they start, you know, bending astray, looking like, you know, I don't know, stalks of corn in the wind or something like that. And here's the thing. I don't need to be this cheap.
No.
Toothbrushes are not that expensive. But I think if I can just hold out to my next appointment at the dentist, again, I go twice a year every 6 months, they give me a free toothbrush along with some other dental swag.
Yeah.
And I just think, hey, I could just hold out. But then my wife tells me, you can't keep brushing your teeth with that. It's not really doing you any good. So,
So my advice, get a new toothbrush, wash and dry your MyPillow, and get some new gummy vitamins. They're delicious.
Yes.
It's time for the best of the week. And you never know. Every week is different. This week was. We've packed it all together in about 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Here you go. The best of the week from the
Woodwick. The question this morning is, who is the highest paid deceased celebrity? Yes, you can have physically passed away, and yet your estate, your family, can still see sizable profits. Now, certainly Elvis comes to mind. You were surprised who was number one, weren't
you? I was.
And
the first thing that, when you were talking about that, how after you die, you continue to accumulate wealth, I thought about earlier this week when Shaq said to his kids, "We aren't rich. I'm rich."
And I love that about Shaq, too, because it's just like, no, you need to work for it.
I spilled my pumpkin spice latte on the ground, and all of a sudden, a bunch of ants started making brunch plans and doing yoga. Dog owners have been warned not to brush their pets' teeth with human toothpaste after research suggested it was being used as a solution to bad breath.
Plus, getting Fido to rinse and spit is nearly impossible.
Absolutely. Number 8, Arnold Palmer, $27 million.
and this is this year.
Oh, because everyone drinks iced tea and lemonade.
I was going to say, iced tea and lemonade is fantastic.
He designed
and he was
golf
a pretty good golfer, too.
Oh, yeah. Other stuff.
No, I think it's the sweet tea.
Do you know Arnold Schwarzenegger was just hired to be in a new film about classical composers?
Really?
It'll be Bach. A Dove survey found very few women actually love their hair. Preach.
Oh, that's sad.
Only 7% between the ages of 18 to 65 admit to loving their locks. I have to say, I am one of those people who do not love my hair.
And here's the thing. I think I, as a guy, am decidedly ambiguous about my hair. I mean, if you see how short a time I spend on it each day, you'd be like, yeah, he doesn't care that much.
Okay, guys, but here's my question. How many times a day do you think about your hair and how it looks?
Not a lot.
Is it 10 times?
I'd say 1 to 2.
What?
Bing Crosby, I mean, I remember being a newspaper delivery, the afternoon Milwaukee Journal, and hearing that Bing Crosby had died. So this is the 70s. He still made $33 million this
year.
Yeah. White Christmas, right?
That's probably all white
More
Christmas.
More like a green Christmas.
Yeah.
A Russian nuclear power company, Rosatom, has a floating nuclear power plant and is now allowing visitors.
The company's motto, can't come to Chernobyl, we bring Chernobyl to you.
Anything can be a theme park.
WWIB kids, hey, if you brushed your teeth already, great. If not, don't forget to brush your teeth. You don't want one of your fellow students to go, who's got the bad breath? Our question of the morning, Caleb, I don't know if you heard it, with Tom Barrett, the Milwaukee mayor, being tabbed to be ambassador to Luxembourg. If you could be ambassador to one country in the world, which would you choose?
Somewhere with really good chocolate.
Okay.
Belgium, possibly?
Belgium, the ambassador to Belgium. There
you,
we go.
Genius.
The Thank chocolate you. Ambassador.
Why should you never, ever date a tennis player?
Why?
Because love means nothing to them.
That's so true.
That's awesome.
In the 80s, McDonald's Quarter Pounder, 1/4, was ascending in popularity, and rivalry and W sought
the Quarter Pounder.
Beat them
right.
at their own game by releasing the 1/3 pound burger. So the plan seemed unbeatable. More meat, more burger, bigger size,
right.
same price. Can't lose.
Can't lose.
However, the burger flopped in part because lots of people were unable to discern at first pass that 1/3 of a pound is more than 1/4.
And this is what sparked No Child Left Behind.
Dr. Seuss, $35 million is number 5. 4th is Charles Schulz, the cartoonist,
sure.
at $40
million. That's not peanuts.
I get
That's
it.
That's a lot of money. That's
You are on
you
today, my
tearing
friend.
It up. It's Caleb's world. We just live in it. The theme of this week's Best of the Week.
Oh, goodness.
You are a clever lad, and you make me laugh. Thank
you,
Mark.
We have fun every day. Thank you, Mark, for putting that together. The Best of the Week.